The Wall Street Journal reported recently about some new tactics atheists are using to win your hearts and minds. The American Humanist Association, Free Thought Action, and other groups have purchased ads over the past year on city buses and public highways beseeching you to, quote, beware of dogma. The Madison, Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation erected a billboard in Cucamonga, California this month with the John Lennon-inspired phrase, imagine no religion. It lasted only a few days until community complaints compelled the billboard company to take it down. In response, Freedom From Religion Foundation co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor marveled at all the sensitivity of the complainers. Quote, one small free thought billboard in the immense state of California is such a threat to insecure religious egos that it must be censored. But as Brooke reported 2 years ago, the brash new atheists, as they're called, don't really care. No longer content to silently disavow religion, they are on the offensive and are taking no prisoners.
Atheism already had a PR problem. Then came Sam Harris, author of Letter to a Christian Nation. When he wrote that since 20% of all recognized pregnancies end in miscarriage, God is, quote, the most prolific abortionist of all, he really made people mad. Harris is one of the most vocal spokesmen for the so-called new atheists, along with Oxford scientist Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion. They wield logic like a bludgeon, so much so that even Comedy Central's South Park, a series that has savaged Scientology, Christian fundamentalism, and the Mormons, got out the knives.
Let us not forget the great Richard Dawkins, who finally freed the world of religion long ago. Dawkins knew that logic and reason were the way of the future. But it wasn't until he met his beautiful wife that he learned using logic and reason isn't enough. You have to be a dick to everyone who doesn't think like you.
Sam Harris concedes he's on a mission to make moderates less moderate.
Because moderates insist that we respect their religious faith, we can't criticize the role that religious faith is playing in dividing people.
And Harris says moderates are mistaken if they believe the wall between church and state can protect us from extremists. They've already scaled it.
If you think the creator of the universe is letting people fly planes into our buildings because we are tolerating gay marriage, or he's whipping up hurricanes in the Gulf because we're tolerating gay marriage, you have to try to legislate against gay marriage. And if you think the creator of the universe is going to be scandalized by the mere depiction of Muhammad, you have to take to the streets and start rioting. There's nothing intolerant or mean or fundamentalist or dogmatic about opposing this kind of delusion.
Real life differs from culture wars in the media.
Gary Wolfe wrote about the new atheists in Wired magazine. He says that the blunt tactics used by the new atheists cannot be applied to personal arguments over faith, where delicate family and work relationships might hang in the balance. He says the polemics of new atheism can be just as nasty as the fundamentalists.
So while I don't accuse the atheists of being fundamentalists, the rhetoric they use resonates with the religious rhetoric that controls much of our cultural debate today.
Sam Harris.
There's nothing fundamentalist about rejecting the claim that the universe is 6,000 years old.
Yes, there is, says Christian Coalition founder Pat Robertson, speaking on the 700 Club.
What we've got to recognize just there in this case is that the evolutionists worship atheism. I mean, that's their religion. So this is an establishment of religion contrary to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution.
If, in fact, atheism were a religion, it might get more respect.
That label evokes a strong negative response in American life.
Penny Edgell is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Minnesota. In 2003, she and her colleagues, Doug Hartman and Joe Gratis, conducted a national poll to determine which of 10 ethnic and religious groups the average American would least like their children to marry.
We had included atheists on the list as a group that we expected would have low levels of disapproval, and their therefore, we thought, well, that will be a good yardstick against which to measure other kinds of attitudes. We were really very surprised.
Atheists were deemed the least desirable. Muslims did better in 2003, and gays and lesbians, maybe because most respondents had at least seen one or two. But research suggests avowed atheists are few and far between.
Just do the numbers, right? If they're only 7% of the American population, odds are most people don't know one.
People fear what they don't know, and so they tend to be suspicious of the absence of a presence in the lives of atheists.
It is religion, having a faith, that makes people in the American context seem trustworthy, like good citizens and good neighbors. So if you don't have that as a moral boundary, you're an outsider, an other, and perhaps a dangerous other.
We're all familiar with phrases like, you know, I have to say it, Jews are cheap, Italians are in the mafia, blacks are on welfare, gays are promiscuous, and atheists are immoral.
Ellen Johnson is the president of American Atheists, but the phrase she hates most of all goes a little something like this.
Perhaps you've heard the expression, there are no atheists in foxholes.
Wartime, there are no atheists in foxholes.
To amend the old saying about foxholes, there are no atheists driving trucks in Iraq.
That was CBS's Katie Couric and Bob Schieffer and NPR's John Burnett. Those were just the three we got tape of. News people say it all the time. Ellen Johnson.
It's demeaning to atheists. It's saying that under very dire circumstances or frightening situations, atheists will stop being atheists. They will start to be leaving. And this is really just a wish on the part of the religious because it's not based in fact.
I thought it was a good line for the tape.
NPR's John Burnett.
And I didn't realize that it was so offensive to atheists. And I learned that in spades after the story came out. They spammed me for weeks with email saying, we're outraged. So now I know.
And did you sort of see their point?
I do see their point. I literally hadn't thought about it before. And frankly, I will think twice about using the phrase again.
So if the news media aren't sensitive to atheists, Hollywood must be, right? I mean, the political right says it's so gay and liberal and irreligious.
Faith. That's another word for ignorance, isn't it?
That's Dr. Gregory House, a brilliant if antisocial diagnostician and the main character in the Fox medical drama, House. He's also an atheist. In a recent episode, House comes up against a teenaged faith healer who seems to be curing a patient with terminal cancer.
I fear for the human race. A teenager claims to be the voice of God and people with advanced degrees are listening.
In a hospital staff lounge, a colleague posts a scoreboard with two columns, House versus God. Whenever House can't explain a medical result, says David Shore, creator of the series,
God got a check mark. When House explains something, House got a check mark.
At the end of the show, on that little tally board, you left it at a draw.
Yes.
But I think you were actually pulling your punches a little there, weren't you?
I hope not. Maybe. I do it sometimes. I don't know.
Yes, he does, because House actually found a medical explanation for everything the faith healer claimed to be doing through God. Hollywood usually pulls its punches on atheism. Mostly, TV atheists are lost souls, like Jen in the teenage drama Dawson's Creek that ran from 1998 to 2003. Here was Jen in the series premiere.
You know, I don't do real well with church and the Bible and this prayer stuff.
I beg your pardon?
I don't covet a religious God, Grams. I'm an atheist.
And here she is in the series finale, terminally ill, taping a farewell message to her baby daughter.
I've never really believed in God, but I hope that you are able to believe in God. Because the thing that I've come to realize, sweetheart, is that it just doesn't matter if God exists or not. The important thing is for you to believe in something.
There's very few openly atheistic people on television, and I find that a little surprising.
House creator and writer David Shore.
Atheists to me fall in the same category to some extent as lawyers, in the sense that people hate them in general, but like their own. They know House, they like House. They don't care he's an atheist, I don't think.
You know, I get it. People are just looking for a way to fill the holes, but they want the holes. They want to live in the holes. And they go nuts when someone else pours dirt in their holes. Climb out of your holes, people!
I like that one. I like that one a lot.
But even Shore is inclined to believe there are no atheists in foxholes, or at least hospitals.
To ignore issues of faith is to ignore a pretty fundamental part of all people's lives when they're in the hospital facing death. I'm not saying all people find God, but they certainly do ask those questions.
What's an atheist to do? American Atheist President Ellen Johnson says they have to organize.
Until the atheists start voting their atheism and be identified as a voting bloc in America, the politicians aren't going to listen to us. We're not going to have any influence in the public schools. We're not going to have any influence in the media or anywhere else.
But even she concedes that organizing atheists is like herding cats. Sam Harris says the only way to win is to keep up the pressure until religious tolerance is no longer tolerated.
I think the criticism of irrationality just has to come from 100 sides all at once in the entertainment community. I mean, you'll just have people making jokes that are funny enough and true enough so as to put religious certainty in a bad light.
We know atheists are brave.
Comedy Central's Stephen Colbert.
They're not afraid to go to hell and be tortured by Satan for all eternity, which is what's going to happen.
One day, someone in the White House press corps will hear the President of the United States express some certainty about being in dialogue with the creator of the universe, and he or she will ask a question which should be on everybody's mind. How is this any different from thinking you're in dialogue with Zeus?
That day is far off. But Harris has a great deal of faith in his fellow man.
I'm hopeful that journalists and people in the entertainment industry are waiting for the permission to express their doubts. And I think that permission is coming. I mean, I'm trying to do what I can to engineer it in my hard-headed and boorish way. And I feel just from the contacts I have in both industries that there is a profound sense of relief that comes with hearing somebody call a spade a spade.
Was that what Stephen Colbert was doing when he addressed an audience of Hollywood elite at the Emmys this year?
Good evening, godless sodomites.
Harris may have no tolerance for the gospel, but as an atheist trying to enlist Hollywood in his crusade, Colbert's greeting has to sound like some kind of good news.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.